Living by Faith, and mainly in Hebrews chapter 11. We began by looking at the inner workings of faith, built upon, sustained by the trusting the Word of God. We took time to look at faith versus sight in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And then back to Hebrews 11, we understood the offering of faith, sacrificially giving my life to the Lord, looking at the example of Abel. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, up to this point, we have seen that what faith is, what it does, and this evening we want to look at and discover the purpose of faith. Why live through faith? What is its purpose? You know, everything has a purpose. Sometimes it's easy to lose focus on purpose. There was a preacher in Atlanta a number of years ago, noticed the restaurant section in the Yellow Pages, and there was an entry for a place called the Church of God Grill. And it was a peculiar name, and kind of got his curiosity aroused, and he called the number, and a man answered with a cheery, "Hello, Church of God Grill." Well, the preacher asked how the restaurant had been given such an unusual name. And the man said, "Well, we had a little mission down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the bills. And people liked the chicken so much, we did such a good business, eventually we just cut out the church service. And we closed down the church altogether, kept serving chicken dinners, but we kept the name we started with, and that's the Church of God Grill." Well, it's easy, I think, to lose focus on why we do things, the purpose of living. It's easy to lose our purpose of living through faith, as this church forgot why they existed. You know, we have a wonderful Baptist buffet here on Sundays, but that's not the reason why our church exists. We could say, well, let's just start charging for that. Make a little money, you know. And we could just change the name of the church, Baptist Buffet, best buffet in town. That would be losing your focus. That's not what this church is about. So purpose is not how it benefits us. It's not even about pleasing a spouse or the needs of our church, our children. The purpose goes even way deeper than that, and we are introduced to a man whose life of faith went much deeper than that, and his name is Enoch. Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, we have the story of Enoch in verses 21 through 24. I'll just quickly read it for you. It's only a few short verses. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now here's a man who lived by faith, and that faith drove him to walk with God for 300 years, and it was built and lived for a purpose. Now, what is the purpose of faith? Why live through faith? Well, I think we can see three profound purposes of faith. First of all, it is faith in God that defeats death. It is faith in God that defeats death. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now the Bible says that Enoch was translated. In Genesis, In the passage we read there in verse 24, it says, he was not, for God took him. So what does that mean? Well, there are only two men who never physically died. One of them was Elijah. After the conclusion of his ministry, the Lord brought him home in a whirlwind and a flaming chariot. In 2 Kings 2:11, it says, it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. The other man is spoken of is the one here in Hebrews 11:5 and Genesis chapter 5, and that's Enoch. The word translated comes from a very unique Greek word, which means to transfer, literally to transport, to exchange, or to change sides. It's also translated to carry over, change, remove, or translate to turn. In other words, the faith of Enoch allowed him to defeat death. Here's something we need to think about concerning this defeating of death. First of all, the dominion of death. You know, sin is a terrible plague upon mankind. It all started in the Garden of Eden when man disobeyed the commands of God. Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, out of the presence of God. They were condemned to die for their sins. And from that point on, death had a dominion over mankind because we're all the offspring of Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, For as in Adam all die. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And also there is something of exceedingly more severity than physical death, and that's eternal death. Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But Christ came to provide victory over the dominion of death caused by sin. There is hope and there is life. Jesus conquered death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a wonderful passage concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, it goes on to talk about this important doctrine and how that Christ was raised from the dead. And if he wasn't raised from the dead, then our faith is vain. There's no purpose in our faith. He said, therefore, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, whereas in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So how is this victory secured in our lives? We have this dominion of death. How is the victory secured? Well, it's the demonstration of faith. Enoch had faith in God. The Bible says he walked by faith. Again, in verse 5 here, I think in a different order, but in the same grammatical context, Enoch was translated that he should not see death by faith. And God honored Enoch's faith by delivering him from death. Listen, this is the way in which we are delivered from death as well, through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians 2, 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Philippians 3 and verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And faith is believing. We must believe. We believe that God loves us. We believe that we're sinners. We believe that sin bears a severe penalty. We believe that Christ died for our sins and rose again. We believe that Christ is the only way to escape death. And we believe and trust Christ and we turn to Him. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now, I'm thankful that most likely everyone here tonight is saved. I don't know your hearts, but I know some of your testimonies. And I trust that you're all saved. I hope you realize what it means to have victory over death through salvation. I don't take that for granted. There may be someone who's dependent on or who may have put their faith in something else than the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus was very clear about this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So it is a faith in God that defeats death. Secondly, it is a faith in God that determines delight. Now, I'm sure that everyone here, I sure hope so, everyone here wants to please God. And it's really the purpose of our existence. You know, a desire to please Christ is nothing, is not something extra for a Christian. It's basic to Christian sanctity. It's not a dessert, but it's the main course. It's not a sideshow, but it's the main event. It's not a motive to which we can resort when convenient, but it's a controlling force to which we have committed our lives. And so for the pleasure of Christ, we have abandoned everything else in time. Applause and pleas of the world have a hollow ring. And so we're marching to a different drumbeat, so to speak. And His delight is our greatest joy. But wait, notice. Here's a warning. Verse 6. In verse 6, in the first part there, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." We're told of an impossibility. We're told that it is impossible to please, to delight the Lord without a clear, true, pure faith in Him. You may seek His pleasure, but listen, you will never please God without true, living, breathing faith in Him. Must have both the desire to please Him and the diligence to seek Him. Too many Christians lose faith in their life so easily. I think of Paul had many men who traveled with him through his journeys. Each one of them had a unique strength, a unique gift for the work of the ministry. And most of them became very helpful to the apostle. But among them was a young man by the name of Demas. In 2 Timothy 4:10, it tells us, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." So the world is full of faith killers, evil assassins, so to speak, designed to pull you away from the Lord and destroy your faith. What are those faith killers? Well, the first one is sin. James 1:15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when hath is finished, bringeth forth death." Sin is a faith killer. Then there's adversity. Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. A third faith killer is fear. Matthew 8:26 says, "And He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Someone has said, when fear enters, faith leaves. Luke 8:25, "And He said unto them, Where is your faith?" And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For He commandeth the winds and the water, and they obey Him." And probably one of the greatest faith killers, probably the root of all faith killers, is pride. 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the devil knows that if he can destroy your faith, he can destroy your delight in the Lord. Back in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, let us hold fast. What? What are we supposed to hold fast? The profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And so that's the warning here. But then in verse 5 again, we have a witness. In verse 5, it says that because God translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, some think that what is asked is impossible. How in the world can we possibly keep faith in God? Someone might say, have you been out in the world today? How can you possibly keep faith in God with the world that we live in? They might think, well, you must just be holed up in your house all the time. You never get out. Well, and for that, we've been given a witness. One who has succeeded in living by faith and has pleased God, and that one is Enoch. Remember what Genesis said about Enoch? I'll read it again. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You see, the key to keeping faith in God is a dynamic walk with God. What does that mean to walk with God? Well, we pray to God. You know, well, a lot of people pray, don't they? And they're not expressing any faith in God. They're just kind of a hope-so prayer. You know, I just pray I can do it. No, real prayer, Elijah kind of prayer. Fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's meditation on the Word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's walking with God. Worship, discipline. All these things help us to walk with God. Consider the day of Enoch's walk, a wicked pre-flood world, and yet he was able to stay pure. And if Enoch can do it, so can we. Now, we need to understand that Enoch lived 365 years. And he walked with God for 300 of those years. Are we content just to live, or are we hungry for more than that? Now, his son, Methuselah, would go on to be the oldest living man. But all the Bible says about him is that he lived. You know, kind of matter of fact. That's all the Bible really says about any of these men in the genealogy. But the father, Enoch, did much more than live. He walked with God. You know, it's one thing to worship God. It's another thing to walk with God. Abel walked or worshiped God with an offering. But Enoch walked with God day by day. You ever wonder why more Christians don't walk with God? Well, the prophet Amos gives us this answer. Very simple. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And that's why people are not walking with God, because they're not agreeing with him. They're living contrary to what God's word says. So we cannot walk with God unless we agree with him. Now, it is faith in God that defeats death. It is faith in God that determines delight. And it is faith in God that defines destination. You see, faith has a purpose. It has the purpose to defeat death and live forever. It has the purpose to determine delight and please God. And finally, faith's purpose is to define our destination in life. What destination is your life headed for? Well, there is the goal of God himself. Look at verse 6 again. In verse 6 it says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Our life has a goal, and that goal is God himself. Hebrews chapter 12. You look over there across the page in verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, the goal of God is to know God. But then there's also the grandeur of eternal reward. That's in the last part of verse 6. "For he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What is it that's waiting for us? When death comes knocking on our door, or if the Lord would come back and take us to be with him, what's waiting for us? Ever thought about that? What can I expect upon living a life through faith? 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I wonder this evening, does your faith fulfill the purpose that God intended it for it? It's a faith that defeats death, a faith in God that determines delight, a faith in God that defines destination. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the time we can have just briefly here in the Word of God. May it These few thoughts challenge our hearts. Help us not to be people who are wandering around without purpose. Help us to be people that are walking with you day by day, moment by moment. Lord, thank you for the testimony, the witness we have of this man, Enoch. And we pray, Lord, that we too would be those who find purpose in faith. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.